Good morning. You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and all over the internet at www.cfru.ca. Also, These Things That People Make is hosted on the National Campus and Community Radio Association Program Exchange and Radio for All. And today, I am featuring an interview with Teresa Chang, who made the cutest, smallest zine of life. It's so cool. It's called Feelings, a Pocket Zine of Emotions. And I thought we were just going to talk about that one, but I asked Teresa to tell me the story of how she came to make Feelings, a Pocket Zine of Emotions. And she told me about the other two zines that she made and released publicly before that one. So I broke up the interview into three parts, and they are the three different zines that she has made. And so the first part of the interview is Dykes and Their Hair. It is a zine that Teresa made about dyke hairstyles, and we're going to listen to that part of the interview first.
There it is, Dykes and Their Hair.
The first annual Dykes and Their Hair
art opening. I kind of set it up so that it was, like, as you flip through the pages, it's kind of like an art gallery you're going through. I don't know, maybe you can describe what's going on.
Okay, I'll describe.
Can't actually see it.
So I'm holding a quarter page zine. It says, the first annual Dykes and Their Hair art opening, admission, a dyke haircut. If you have one, you know what that means. If you don't, well, pay the cover or $5, location everywhere, exhibition this way. So the zine is an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I do a little intro, and I can talk about
the
intro.
Can you read the intro for us?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, okay. So, there's nothing to get here. The only appropriate thing to do when looking through the zine is to laugh or smirk or be angry. It must be noted that most recognizable dyke hairstyles only cater towards those with hair that is straight, straightish, able to be straightened, or wavy, leaving those with tight curls, or any sorts of curls for that matter, out of the hip urban dyke circle. Apparently black dykes can't be dykes. So this is simply about laughing at ourselves, or being pissed that oftentimes dyke is a term reserved for non-heterosexual white women. For some reason, it's difficult for some to imagine colored women of color as dykes. The following exhibit shows normalized dyke hairstyles that sometimes act as very public hints into reading someone's sexuality. Hair is one realm that dykes have reclaimed as their own. Thing is, only certain hairstyles have had the privilege of making it into the dyke category. Because these particular hairstyles have been normalized and become signs, the dykes and the queers who cannot or choose not to wear their hair, wear the styles, become invisible, even within their own communities. Love, one East Asian dyke with hairstyle figure 6.
Okay, now, these are hand-drawn hairstyles.
Mm-hmm. And I want to keep it simple. I just drew the hairstyle with no face attached to it. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like creepy, floating in the middle of the page. And I actually got a lot of these off of Facebook. Stole them from my friends. And maybe there's a Tegan and Sarah in there somewhere. Yeah. So
shaved on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Spiky like a porcupine on the other side.
Yeah, kind of PC, short, asymmetrical hair.
Yeah.
What else?
And I like actually that none of them have titles.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that'd be difficult giving them names.
Which hairstyle is yours?
Number this 6, one. It was
so you
mine.
Used to have a short, longish hair.
Short on one side, very long on the other. Yeah. Yeah, so this was kind of a critique of, you know, normalized dyke queer women markers.
Mm-hmm.
And how some women and some queers
can pull up their hairstyles.
Yeah, and therefore become invisible. And people of color are generally already invisibilized in queer communities. And this is just another way. I guess kind of like the really like latent, implicit like racism that happens that doesn't get talked about. But what happened with this zine was that a lot of people liked how kitschy it was, right? It's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cute. And people loved it and would laugh. But I'd be like, read the goddamn intro. I have a feeling no one reads the intro. But so it kind of became this kitschy kind of like dyke coffee table thing.
Yeah, which is, and people are like, oh, it's funny and it's cute and like, mm-hmm. they can point out who it is. It's yeah. interesting, hey, like tongue-in-cheek sort of like comical jabs at things, like how actually explicit and critical you are in the intro, but then like it's like the question of like how does that conversation actually continue, or
yeah.
like maybe people did really think about it
yeah.
but didn't know what to do
yep.
with it, or
yeah yeah. And I'm not suggesting anything, I'm not prescriptive, I guess
yeah.
in my zine I'm not saying do this or do that.
And I mean white like people also love that, right? Like we love to be like, okay, we hear about this atrocity, now tell me what I can do
yeah,
about it
exactly.
so I can feel better
yeah.
you know.
And I don't have answers. I don't
no,
know.
And it's like that's also totally fine.
Yeah. And this is 3 years old. That's why
yeah.
I was kind of reluctant actually to read that intro, because I don't know. It's very poor writing, first of all. But I feel like people of color, more so now, are being really creative with their hair.
Hmm.
And are recognized, have been really creative and styled their hairs, and hair being a very visual marker in their own ways that has slowly become like queer markers themselves too. And so
mm-hmm.
I think while I think the zine is still pertinent, I think things are changing. This is 3 years
yeah.
old, so yeah.
You are listening to These Things That People Make. This is an interview with Teresa Chang, and we're talking about zines that she's made leading up to the climax of Feelings, a pocket zine of emotions. And we just heard about dykes and their hair, and now we're going to hear about Upskirt.
Zine. Oh, yeah. Upskirt, Dirty Unfeminist Secrets.
Awesome. Okay, tell me about it.
Tell you about it? All right. Okay, so the zine is a compilation of secrets sent in by different feminists, self-identified feminists, around things they don't feel like matches up with their, so, like, politics. And I think everyone has that, whether it's, like, feminism or, like, anti-racist politics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I just wanted to get to think about the ways feminism itself polices people and their desires. And so I just compiled it, and I wrote a little intro and a little outro, but it's generally made up of secrets by different people. There are a lot of my own secrets in there as well.
Can you read a couple of them?
A couple of the secrets? Yeah, sure. Let me see here. Okay, the first one here says, I hate it when my body looks feminine. It makes me feel weaker. Okay, this is a good one. I feel like every anti, non-feminist thing I do, I try to validate in my head and convince myself that it is subverting the system. This is a good one. I feel intense validation from men who can't call, whistle, or ogle me in the streets.
Awesome. And what inspired you to do this scene?
Probably my own sense of shame and guilt. And if I put it on paper, it feels... I feel like it's easier for me to put it on paper, or like... it feels like a performance or something,
mm-hmm.
than to actually have to talk about it. If I put it out there, I don't... it feels safer for me. And I think there's just so much policing. And especially around like bodies and sexual desire, that I think is really fucked up, can be really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people think about these things, and I thought, why not do it? I think a lot of people could connect with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's interesting, this thing with zines is like, you make it, but it's not always attached to you. You
mm-hmm.
know, like,
yeah.
other people talk about it, and you're able to just like actually start a conversation that you don't even have to be there for. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
It takes a life of its own. Well, it's like that dykes in their hair one. Right? People take it and they think it's like kitschy and cute and funny, and it became something that I don't think I necessarily wanted it to become, but...
Hmm.
But
with the second one, with mm-hmm. the secret one, did it become something you didn't want it to become, or where, how did you feel after you made that one?
I think I felt pretty good. I mean,
yeah
I don't feel the greatest, to be honest, about dyes
really?
In the hair. I actually still give it out just to people that I... are like friends, new friends that I've made, or... this one I feel... pretty okay about. Maybe because a lot of it isn't even my own stuff. But I also like to remind myself that these are like, these zines are attached to time, and that like Dykes and the Hare is from like 3 years ago when I felt like this was really, really pertinent, this issue of like visibility and invisibility in queer communities.
The zine series that I wrote in like 2002 to 2005, the first issue is like pretty lesbian separatist, pretty, what's the word? What's that movie where the woman murders all these men? What is that? Butterfly something?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's not good. It's gruesome. but like I, it was like a zine project that was really exciting for me. Yeah. And at the same time, I'm like, maybe don't read the first
yeah.
one, you know? But at the same time, it's like, I wrote in 2002. It was like,
oh yeah, it's been almost 10 years.
Yeah. It's like, it's a particular place that I was in, but it's, yeah, it's this funny.
Oh, that's good. This is only 3 years old. And I'm like, oh God, I'm moving on. New projects.
Yeah. I feel like Upskirt could be like, I feel like it could be a huge book.
Yeah.
This is These Things That People Make. These Things That People Make is featuring an interview with Teresa Chang this morning. And we're leading up to talking about Feeling Words, a Pocket Zine of Emotions. Are you ready for it? We're about to do it. So here is the featured zine, the reason why I originally contacted Teresa. I want to tell you, I got to buy 2 copies of this zine from her in a snowstorm in Toronto. It made my day, and we talked about how we were both Leos. So here is one Leo interviewing another Leo about feelings.
Yes. Feeling Words is next. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the feature zine that I texted you because I wanted to interview about it. So if you could please read it and describe it in great detail, I would really like that.
Do you want me to read the intro?
I want you to read the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
People are going to be bored by this.
No, they're not.
All right. So this zine is called, it's very small. It is a 1/8. 1/8. Page zine. It's called Feeling Words, a Pocket Zine of Emotions. And so I made the zine in the summer of 2010 when I did my residency at Robert Street Social Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I actually went to do to work on an animation, a stop motion animation there. But while I was waiting for some equipment to arrive, I thought I'd make a zine, and this is what came out of it. So here it goes. I started going to counseling about 8 years ago. I went in wanting to learn skills around expressing my needs. After talking to my counselor about my goal, we realized I didn't even know what my needs were. Soon after that, we realized I didn't even know what my needs were because I didn't know how to identify my emotions. It was this scary backtracking into what felt like an abyss of total unawareness of myself. My counselor was always asking me how I felt towards a situation or someone. I had a really hard time answering her. I didn't know what I could feel beyond stressed out, okay, numb, or I don't know. And I don't think any of those descriptors actually say anything about how I'm really doing emotionally, especially not the I don't know. My counselor gave me a workbook to do, and inside that workbook was a list of commonly felt emotions. I found it to be useful because I could use it as a reference. It reminded me that there was a huge range of emotions that I could feel, and that before I'm able to identify them on my own, I'd be able to refer to that list. Sounds robotic and methodical, but I was so desperate for words. That was the only way I knew how to start this process of getting to know myself. So this zine is for those who need emotional references because they find it hard to sort out their feelings, to identify what those feelings even are. Identifying my emotions is an important continuous learning process because I need to know myself on an emotional level in order to know what I need in my life and what I need to weed out of it. So this is a zine of emotions. Keep it in your purse, keep it in your wallet, your bra, your back pocket. When your coworker is a douche and you know it made you feel crappy, but that's all you know, refer to the zine. When a friend invites you out and you just don't want to but are not sure why, refer to the zine. When your lover, honey, ex isn't communicating, leave a copy of the zine on their doorstep with a threatening note. This is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also kind of not. Some of these emotions might not be real emotions, but makes the most sense at times. It's hard to find that perfect descriptor, the one that clicks and suddenly the sense of relief washes over you. So sometimes using annoyed or heavy is okay. I mean, anything is a step up from I don't know. A lot of these words can be categorized as negative, and so what? When things are shitty and aren't the greatest, that's often when identifying emotions is the hardest, because when things are tough, it's easy to get flooded and feel overwhelmed. And for me, when I'm flooding emotionally, I shut down. And I'm sick of shutting down. It's worked for me for the past 25 years, but not anymore. This girl is growing up. I love emotions. Your feeling words in alphabetical order. Abandoned. Absent. Affectionate. Afraid. Aggressive. Agitated. Angry. Anxious. Ashamed. Betrayed. Bitchy. Bitter. Blah. Blissful. Bored. Broken. Burnt out. Calm. Cared for. Caring. Carefree. Cheerful. Comfortable. Concerned. Depressed. Desirable. Desperate. Confident. Defeated. Disappointed. Distant. Doubtful. Embarrassed. Empowered. Envious. Excited. Forced. Grumpy. Guilty. Happy. Heavy. Helpless. Hopeful. Hurt. Impatient. Inspired. Interested. Irritated. Jealous. Lighthearted. Lonely. Misunderstood. Moody. Motivated. Nervous. Numb. Optimistic. Overwhelmed. Pleased. Powerless. Pressured. Proud. Protective. Quiet. Regretful. Rejected. Relaxed. Relieved. Respected. Ridiculous. Sad. Satisfied. Secure. Self-conscious. Shameless. Shy. Sorry. Stressed. Surprised. Territorial. Thankful. Timid. Torn. Unforgiving. Unsure. Violated. Warm. Worried. And then I have a little cartoon picture of drawing of me, and I'm saying, quote, happy, emoting, and and the outro for this says, I made the zine during late nights after lake swims, a dike march, bike rides, comic store browsing, hanging out in on the Halifax Pride grounds, eating fish and chips in Dartmouth, hanging out on porches, inside the Anchor Archive zine library on a beautiful and functional green typewriter. Truly, this place is wonderful, and I think hard to find anywhere else. Thank you. So I'm referring to Robert Street Social Center.
And it's in color, and it's is it on fabric that you, like, what,
no,
did you, or wallpaper?
I went to the paper place, actually, on Queen Street in Toronto. And so it's actually Japanese paper. I actually should have said something in the zine about it. Credited it.
It's beautiful.
Some of it, actually, some fabric. There's some fabric in here. A lot of it is Japanese paper.
And how did you pick the feeling words that you picked?
Oh my God, to be honest, I Googled them.
What do you mean you Googled them?
I just put, I probably just Googled list of emotions. And I mean, there were huge lists, and I curated it, and I picked this list. And I mean, sometimes I wonder, you know, how many of these, does it really just come down to, like, fear and love, all of these
I don't know.
Emotions?
When I read them, I was like, oh my God, there are so many feelings that I have, and I reduce them to three or four words all the time. And I think part of it is that I permit myself to feel a small amount of emotions that, like, are acceptable to my own brain. So I'm like, bad, good,
yeah,
tired,
yeah,
energetic.
Yeah, I think so.
Happy, sad, angry.
We need to expand our vocabulary.
Yeah. So when I actually do keep this zine by my bed.
Oh.
Like, and the other day I felt kind of bad, and I took the zine into the living room with my sketchbook, and I was looking at the words and thinking. So I actually use it as a reference, and I think that because it's not 1,000 words, and because it's in this small thing, and because it's pretty, that makes it more digestible.
Uh-huh.
Like, if it was, you know, those cheesy photocopy piece of paper with all those stupid happy faces that have all the emotions.
Yeah.
That's what I like. Yeah. And I like look at those and I'm like, I don't feel like any of these happy faces. Like,
no. No, because you're not a circle with eyes and a mouth.
Yeah. Was it nice? Was it nice, the process of typewriting out all the words and like assembling them in this beautiful way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think that's one of the most fun part things of making zines.
Yeah.
The, like, I mean, if you make zines that way, but like cutting and pasting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was lots of fun to see it come together.
Yeah.
Oh, I always enjoy making the process.
Do you use this scene?
Do I use it to identify my emotions?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know if I actually take it out and like look at it for.
Yeah. Well, because you made it. I mean.
I mean, okay, maybe I don't take it out and reference it, but these are things that are on my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I made this zine, so, yeah. I feel a little weird whipping out my own zine. I don't know. A little narcissistic.
No, I understand.
Never even noticed when you walked in the bar. Heads were a-turning like an engine in a car. A slowly rusting down to sand. It's all in where you stand. The water is rising, the grass is growing tall. Sun is a-sinking at the back of heaven's call. A-slowly turning into flames. It won't stay the same. You're walking with your head up high. Oh, what's the use in crying? When it'll pass its by.
So that was the interview with Teresa Chang. Amazing. We met up at Naco Cafe. I wanted to mention that. It was a really cool place in Toronto on Dundas Street, and did that fantastic interview. If you want to get a copy of Feeling Words, you can check out my blog, and there's information, or there will be in an hour, information about how to get that zine, and also links to the online versions of Dykes in Their Hair and Upskirt. So check out my blog, thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com, and there'll be some pictures, and there'll be some information, and there'll be some funny words that I write underneath the picture, so you should definitely check that out. Before we leave today's show, last week I interviewed Jamie Q about her queer object zine, and I told you that we had run out of time, but Jamie Q had two really exciting call for submissions. So I'm bringing them to you now. So, please listen to these two calls for submissions and consider contributing to them. And then I will say goodbye. But first, listen to these and feel inspired and consider contributing.
Okay, so the first zine, Queer Enough. This zine seeks writing and artwork from queers who are currently in different sex relationships or have previously been in different sex relationships while being out as queer. It also welcomes submissions from partners of queers on the points described below. Submissions may reflect on any of the entry points below or propose other viewpoints on the topic. Feeling queer enough, defining one's own queerness, maintaining outness, queer visibility or invisibility, queerness as encompassing more than sex or gender identity, challenges specific to queer different sex relationships, being in a relationship where one person is queer-identified and the other isn't? Is one partner's identity affected by the other's identity? Does your behavior in public differ in a different sex relationship, for example, hand-holding and other displays of affection? how your private sexual practice is actually queer as can be, how opposite sex fails to describe your relationship as if there was an opposite to your identity anyway. Most of the world awesome. Probably looks like a boy and a girl. And then the second one is what's in a name. This zine seeks writing and artwork from queer and trans people who use a name other than their given birth names. Submissions may reflect on any of the points below or propose other viewpoints on the topic. How does your name change relate to your queerness and or gender identity? Acceptance and challenges with friends and family. What does your chosen name mean to you? Why is it important? Why did you choose the name you did? Life changes, gender changes, name changes. When did you change your name, and how did it mark, articulate, or make sense of a time of change in your life? Do different groups of people call you by different names? Does this relate to the level of acceptance of your identity? Is the legal status of your name important to you? Have you legally changed your name? Challenges faced with legal name change procedures, or tips for others seeking to legally change their names? Legal names and their relation to the production of gender, citizenship, and nationalism. And the deadline for submissions for both of those is May 1st, which will probably end up being flexible, but try to get them in by May 1st.
So that was Jamie Q, who I interviewed last week of the zine What Makes an Object Queer, talking about her two calls for submissions. They are Queer Enough and What's in a Name. And to get more information or to send your call for submissions in, please email callforzines@gmail.com. Callforzines, all one word, @gmail.com.